You may be seated. What a powerful verse in that song. I just saw, as I was listening to it, I honestly never heard that song before. And I was trying to get a picture of what the verses were. If Chad can pull that verse up for me, I didn't quite get the picture. But the words in there. I share what God has laid upon my heart and pray that it would challenge you this morning. And throughout this week, there's been different things that have occurred. And if you've been watching on the news, unless you are hidden away in a cave, you're well aware of what's been going on in the world today. But this morning, I want to start off by reading from the book of Numbers. Chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. But I want to say that it's good to see everyone that was able to make it out here this morning. Numbers chapter 16, verse 12. Moses sent a call to Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, which said, "We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou makest thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into the land that flows with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of the fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." And this morning I want to focus on this story, but I want to bring to you the vision. The vision is the title of this sermon. Division. On the news, we find there's the blame game going on. A lot of discouragement. And I've received a couple texts from individuals, you know, where they were very discouraged that things didn't go as it was supposed to, as it was planned, as how they expected it to go. So many were discouraged that even to the point of, oh, I might as well give up, you know, toss in your faith, you know, and just give up because, you know, where is God in this? Anybody ever been there? Just me. Two. All right, brother. And so as I was listening to these remarks, and as I replied, you know, you could hear the hurt in the voices, and you could hear you can see the frustration, you know. And so I want to speak on the vision that God has placed in your life. You know, I want to stop for a moment and ask a couple questions. Just so that you can meditate on these questions throughout what I have to say. What has God ordained for this time for your life? What has God ordained for this time for your life? And the next question would be, well, what is your purpose in this season? Because in every season we have a purpose. So what is your purpose in this season? Or better yet, what am I to learn? Because many a times in our season, and when I say season, you can automatically go back to the summer season, the winter season. Look at it as the season of plenty and the season of famine, the season of joy and the season of weeping, the season of on the mountaintop and the season of in the valley. But yet in the Word of God, we find that God is in control of all the seasons. Amen? And so it doesn't matter what season that we're in. And so, what is my purpose for this season? That's the challenge. And what are you so quick to do during this season? Because many times in our season of joy, well, praise God, that's good. In our season of in the valley, God forsake me again. What are you so quick to do? And truly inspect your heart this morning, because that will place you right where God sees you. And the last one is, have I taken God out of the equation? These are questions that I was asking myself as I was sitting here studying. You see, because for some, they have faith, and it's almost like a vehicle, a means to get provision from God. But then when God doesn't respond in the way that they expect Him to, they have a faith crisis. Faith is surrendering your will to His will. Are you with me this morning? Amen. And before I go into the story, Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10, it says, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Proverbs chapter 18 verse 10. And we're so familiar with some of these scriptures, but we have to meditate on what it truly means. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. You see, sometimes we just need to stop and meditate on what the Word of God has to say for that very hour. And it will speak life into our season. You see, at times, seeing is believing. But sometimes we forget that it's the reverse. Believing is seeing. Let me explain that. Seeing is believing in the natural, but when we get to the place where we believe that God is able, when we get to the place where we know that God is able to provide and move in our situation, then it's all it is believing, because we are able to see that God's hand is active in our lives. Believing is seeing. And so as we look at this story, we find that the children of Israel had among them a group of men that disagreed with Moses. The vision was lost to them. If you recall, Moses came into Egypt under the guidance of God to bring Israelite out of bondage into the promised land. And so he relayed that message to them. But during their wandering, there's always one or two chirping. During the wandering, there were a couple that were chirping. They based their complaints on the things of the physical. Because as we read in this chapter and we look at that verse that I just read, one of the things that they brought up was We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that flows with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? Let me back up for a second. They had perverse what God had brought into mind. Hear me out. Because it says, is it a small thing that you, Moses, has brought us up out of the land that flows with milk and honey? What were they saying? Somebody help me out here. What were they saying? Egypt was great. Egypt was the land that was flowing with milk and honey. They perversed the word of God and they looked at it like that was the promise, and you brought us out into the wilderness, which wasn't the promise of God. Who are you, Moses? How is it that you took us away from what God has provided? But yet, there are times that we hear that same chirping in the churches today. Do we recognize when the enemy uses and allows his voice to be spoken even within the body of Christ? Oh, help me out here. Are you in agreement with that?
Amen.
The enemy will come in any which way that he can. And we need to be wise in his tactics.
Right.
And so here, they're complaining to Moses and saying, you just brought us out to kill us. Even more so, you brought us out so that you can make yourself a prince over us. So that you can be the mighty one. So that you can be the star, the attention of everything, the one and only person that is the leader. So that you can proclaim that you know it all. And so here, they're saying, who are you, Moses? If you read the story in verse 3 of that same chapter of chapter 16 of Numbers, you find out that there was some envy going on. There was something that had attached to a group of people. These were God's chosen people. Now let me break it down even more. The voices that were being heard were the sons of Levi. The voices that were being heard were those that worked in the temple. These were those that took care of the sacred things, moving them, guarding them, whatever may be. These were those that had a position within the temple. But yet there are voices. What they were saying was, the vision that was portrayed to us, the vision that was given to us, is not the right vision. The vision that we receive is not the right one. Who are you? Why are you so special? Why is it that we have to listen to you? We're all called God's children. One thing that you have to remember, when the enemy comes in, he's going to be very deceptive by twisting things so that truth is mingled in with a lie.
Amen.
You are all, we're all God's children. Let's go over there and read this for a second before I get wound up. Numbers chapter 16. Verse 3, it says, they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and they said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? Let me tell you, if God has placed you in a position, God has placed someone in a position, be very careful in stepping in front of what God has ordained. If God has placed something
and God has given a word, and it's from God. Be very careful to when you come against the word of the Lord. Is that all right? Are you with me this morning? You see, because this was the word of the Lord that he had given to them, but yet they chose to ignore it because it didn't fit their agenda. They chose to ignore it because it didn't promote them. They chose to ignore it because they wanted that position of what is seen to be power. And they continue to attack. Going back to verse 12 through 14. You haven't fulfilled your duty. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into the land that flows with milk and honey, or given us the inheritance of the field. What if the vision that God has given you hasn't been fulfilled? Would you toss in the towel? Would you quit your faith? As I was studying, I come across some other information. The Midrash, which is a collection of teachings on the Torah, and this was by a Christian rabbi. It reveals some of the uprising that occurred during that time. Now, this is extra. This is not in the scriptures. This is something that I had found, and I just want to share with you that this one particular passage that we're seeing with Korah was not the only thing that it wasn't just the only one thing that they got upset about, but it seems like it went on for a period of time, according to this writing. And once again, this is something extra from the Word of God, so you can take this for what it's worth, but let's focus on the Word of God. But I want to share this with you for a second. It reveals some of the uprisings of Korah and the undermining of Moses. The one particular area, Korah had questioned the purpose of some of the laws. The dye, the blue string that was dyed on the garments of the priests. He questioned the Shema or the commandments that prayer that is usually placed on a parchment that is usually affixed to the doorposts. It was required of them to put this prayer on the doorposts as a reminder of who God is. That prayer starts in Deuteronomy chapter 6. For the Lord God, He is one, and so on. And we can find parts of it in Deuteronomy chapter 11, also parts of it in Numbers. But it was the Shema was a daily declaration of faith, and it was recited in the mornings and in the evenings. But it was challenged by this group. According to this writing, it was challenged by this group. Why do we have to follow that? When, you know, we have scrolls in our house, so why do we have to put that on our doorposts? You know, and so there was a disagreement there. I found it interesting that this was made known. But what this writer had brought out was that the focus of this group was primarily on the physical performance of the 613 commandments, or the mitzvot. But they failed to put it in proper perspective, in the proper spiritual insight perspective. That God had placed this as a commandment for them to follow, for them to recognize, for them to acknowledge, for them to teach their children. But yet this uprising was something that slowly came about. It probably started in a very minute way. But when we go into the scriptures, we hear that the uprising all of a sudden came about with Korah. And they came against Moses. And the vision was lost. Moses, you're doing your own thing. Your own agenda. You didn't accomplish the task. You've done it for control. You've lied to us. These are the accusations. But here's what it revealed. As we look at the scriptures, they're looking at the delay of why the vision didn't come to pass. Why do you think there was a delay? Why do you think that the Israelites had to wander for 40 years? Slow learners, they needed to learn a lesson. Unbelief. What else?
Mistrust.
Mistrust. Lack of faith. You see, all these played a role in this. Sometimes God's vision is in place, but it is hindered by other things that are all along the way. But God's way is always accomplished.
Amen.
In the end. Remember that. Because as the story goes, we find that God's will is always done in the end. Whether you receive it or not is up to you. And so here, as these people rose up against Moses, as these people rose up and defied what God had placed as a vision for them, what if God was revealing to them their heart, the self-confidence that they had within themselves? What if God was revealing that there was envy and strife? You ever wonder why sometimes you hear a message over and over? When is pastor going to change the message? God is love. I've heard this so many times. God is love. God is love. Oh, good Lord. There's got to be something else in the Word of God. Maybe because God is trying to get to you. Maybe because you have closed your ears. Maybe because you have yet to understand true love. I smile because of something somebody had mentioned earlier about true love. Maybe it's because you got to get to the place where you are willing to receive the message. For 40 years, imagine me preaching the same message for 40 years. For 40 years, Israel wandered in the wilderness when it could have only taken them a couple months. 40 years. Man, that's some stubborn people there, I'm telling you. They were set in their ways. For 40 years, I pray that we are not like that.
Amen.
You see, because God allowed them to wander. Why? Because they were going to be our example. Are you hearing me? See, the Old Testament is so that we understand how God deals with sin. We understand how God provides. We understand and we see how God manifests in certain situations and how God will deal with the hearts of men. They were our example. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul said it himself. These were our example. Don't be like them, but learn from their mistakes. How they have failed. What if God was revealing the faithfulness
of the leaders. Here, these were men of God, leaders that people were listening. Their faithfulness, so-called faithfulness, was causing others to stumble and fall. Because if you read the story, there was 249 that rose up against Moses. And by the time the story ends, there was about 14,000 people that died because of their sin. They had a gathering. Everything they said sounded good. Yeah, he is a liar. I haven't seen anything happening yet. Everything sounded, yes, you're right. We had it made in Egypt. Yes, you're right. You know, we've been wandering forever and we haven't seen anything. You've forgotten the provision of God. You've forgotten the direction of God. You've forgotten how God has delivered you. You forgot how God parted the Red Sea. You forgot that God was still in charge. You see, they had lost the vision. And so as I was studying, I went to Matthew chapter 25. Turn with me there for a second. Matthew 25, and starting with verse 14. And Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." I'm going to stop there for a second because I want you to understand something. He says, let me tell you about what it is, or what is it compared to when dealing with the things of heaven. And he says, and he starts to speak on giving these talents, these gifts. And as the parable goes, you're going to find that the one that had 5, it multiplied. The one that had 2, it multiplied. But there was the one that had 1, and he did nothing with it. Now, how does that tie in with the vision? Well, as I was looking at the story of Korah, these men of God, the ones that worked in the temple, they were to be good stewards of God's ministry. Did it increase? Or did they fail to allow God to move? Are you with me this morning? Amen. You see, because you might have the 5. You might have the 2. Somebody else might have the 1 talent. But the principle here is that God has placed you here to use your talents for the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. Well, I'm nobody special. God created you. Period. Enough said. Amen. You see, because each one God has placed here for a purpose, for a plan. We've heard this before. Why do we have to go back on this?
Because we fail to value everyone in the body of Christ.
You know, Rhonda, she's just a thumb. Dave, he's just a pinky. Pastor, he's just a butt. Hold on. I'm using that so that you understand that's how people think at times. No value there. Hold on. But yet, they are part of the body of Christ. And they hold value. Amen. And that body of Christ has a vision. And that vision has to, that body has to work together.
Amen.
Towards the vision. There was a hindrance in the congregation. And Moses, the first thing he did, the Bible says that when they came at him, he fell on his face. Now, some scholars will debate this. They said, well, he was doing it in humility. And others will say he was doing it in prayer. But as we read a little further, the next couple verses, I believe defines exactly what it means. Because the next couple of verses he says, oh, you guys want to be in charge. You know what? Why don't you bring your stuff to the temple? And we'll stand before God. And God will decide. He was looking towards God for direction. And so when we get to a place where we think that the vision has failed, and this is all knowing that God has given you the vision, because we can go different ways with this. Know that God has given you the vision and you think the vision has failed. Stop and go to God in prayer. Because what are you listening? Who are you listening to? Because the voices that are chirping were not of God at that time. But I love the leadership of Moses. Because Moses says, you know what? Let's deal with it the proper way. Let's go to God. Let's go to God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36 in the NIV. We know that. I'm sorry. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. You see, confidence is rooted in the word of God and what God has declared. And here as we read, this was rooted in his promise, in his care, in his deliverance, in the salvation that was brought through Christ. And so when we stand upon the word of God and God has given us a vision, then we need to continue to stand upon the word of God. Well, I believe that the word of God said that Trump was going to be... Hold up. I don't like preaching on politics, but I this was what I had to deal with this week. Hold up. Where's your faith? Who's your faith in? It is not in an individual. It's in a God. You see, when we start trusting in the individual, you're going to make this happen. You're going to do this. You are the chosen one. You are, hold up. God is involved. God is in charge. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter what the future holds as long as God is in it. was trying to say to these individuals is that sometimes God has a way of birthing things in a dry season. And what if in the dry season God is about to move in a mighty way? You see, here, God had to do some weeding in the congregation that Moses was dealing with. God moved in a mighty way where he eliminated the issue and the problem. You want to be a problem? I'll leave that one alone. You see, and so we have to keep in mind that God's purpose will always be fulfilled. Not your purpose. Not your agenda. Not the way you think it should be run. I think sometimes people get in their prayer closet and say, God, okay, this is how it should be done. You know, for one, just before we get started, I want a Lamborghini. And then I want to be able to come in here and I want to see this, this, and this. But yet that's not scriptural. God's word states, we are his servants. He's the master. He's the potter. I'm just a lump of clay. We can fight all we want, but still, he's the potter. I'm the lump of clay. When we get to that place, knowing that God's purpose is going to be fulfilled, it doesn't matter what the outcome is. Sometimes it's hard. When I was studying this, and as I shared earlier about those writings that I came across, you know, I couldn't find how many years that Moses had to deal with this. But he had to put up with this. I mean, and then during this time of dealing with the heartaches of people whining all the time, I need some bread, or people whining about, I'm thirsty, are we there yet? You know, Moses had to deal with an uprising. And I guarantee, and I know he did because I've seen it in the scripture, he got frustrated. And at one time, he got so frustrated that he sinned. Check it out in the scripture. That's a different message. But throughout the time of him being a leader, he turned to God. I don't see the promised land, but God said it. I don't have to believe it because it's going to still be accomplished. Are you listening? Because whether you believe it or not, it's going to happen. So if God said it, period.
Amen.
That's it. I hate that script, that bumper sticker. You ever seen it? And that settled it?
No.
I understand that. But in all honesty, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. Because if God said it, it will be accomplished. Period. And so when God reveals a vision, a purpose for the body, for an individual, we need to stand on that period. Your vision better line up with God's vision. Your vision better include God. Because I, on the flip side, Korah, this is my vision. I want to be in charge. This is my vision. Let's line it up with the scriptures. What's your intentions? was your motives? What prompts you? What moves you? It's your selfish gain, then it's not God. Is that all right? Mm-hmm. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Amen?
Amen.
You see, our decisions are to reflect God's direction and activity. I like that so much, I made a meme out of it and posted it on Facebook. So that's a good one, God. Okay, I'm going to write this down again. Our decisions are to reflect God's direction. Everything that we do should honor God. Every vision that we have, and I'm not talking about dreams, I'm talking what God has placed in mind for a purpose. Every vision that we have should honor God. Every decision that we make should honor God. Period. Oh, that's a hard one. No, it's not. If God's in control, no, it's not. If God's in control, that's what it is. Period. You see, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what man may do to me. What matters is how am I pleasing my God. See, it doesn't matter what you think of me, which it would hurt my feelings if you think bad of me, but it doesn't matter because God is one, number one. You see, that is the important thing. Churches today have forgotten number one. I'm not number one. I'll tell you right now, I'm not number one. My purpose is to point to heaven. My purpose is to show you what the Word of God says. My purpose is to teach you what the Word of God says. My purpose is to direct you to the Scriptures. And if you're listening, you will learn what the Scriptures have to say and how to live. Okay. If you're truly listening, the Word of God says that the Word will go forth and it will do what it's meant to do. Whether he uses me, whether he uses a song, whether he uses a prayer, whether he uses whatever it may be, God's purpose will be done. You see, my purpose, I'm just sowing. Your purpose is to receive what God has in store for you. I'm just sowing. So if it falls on stony ground, it's not my fault. If it falls on fertile ground, then someone's been praying. Someone been actively seeking. You see? Read it. See if I'm saying truth from the Word of God. I challenge you. And so we see the decisions that Moses was making were decisions that were based on God's direction. And he stood fast. And in the face of all this conflict, he turned to God. So let's see what God says about this. You have an issue. Let's take it to God. And we find that God's work is best manifested in the wilderness. That God moves in a mighty way. Never place your faith on man. That's a wrong vision. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul, as he wrote these letters, he's seen the vision. He knew the purpose. He knew the purpose of a body. He knew what was expected. He repeated himself multiple times in his letters to the churches. He wrote it in different ways, but you hear the same message. Let me read to you in chapter 4. He says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. It's a mouthful right there. Lord, may I become a prisoner of yours. Your prisoner. That I can only move when you move me. That I can only go when you release me. That I can only speak when you allow me to speak. Prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all humility, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'll jump down real quick to verse 11. And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the work of the ministry. Let me repeat. For the work of the ministry. Let it sink in. For the work of the ministry, you are called. You are called for a purpose. For the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the cunning of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compact by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I want you to understand something I already said earlier. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compact by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let me give you an example here. In order for my feet to be sustained by the nutrition that I put into this body, it has to pass through everything else. What if? Sorry, Ron, you're so close to me, I'm going to use you as a god. Again. In order for me to receive, maybe she has to receive, take it and run with it, so that I can receive. What if I'm a foot, as an example, and she's a kneecap? What if
The things that we hear, we see, we're not to keep, but we're to share with joy. We're to edify one another so that in turn, they receive the nutrition that they need. They receive the spiritual insight that you have received. They receive that joy, that same joy, and they get excited the same way because they get an understanding of what God is doing.
We're alive. The vision. It's one vision. The purpose is to move forward in our faith. The purpose is to allow God to manifest in such a way that people know there's something going on. You see, last week I said, we need to get to a place where we just ooze Jesus. Remember that? We need to get a place where we just ooze Jesus. My desire, and not for selfish gain, my desire is to see the power of God so strong that people, when they walk by you, they feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. How is that possible? It's when we get into a place of solitude with God. When we get into a place of brokenness. When we get into a place where we say, God, it's you or nothing. Here I am. That's where it's at. That's what it's all about.
Psalms 57. Verse 2. In the NIV, we'll be wrapping it up. I cry out to God, the Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. This was a time when David was running away from Saul. He was fleeing Saul. But yet in this passage, in this chapter, in this little citation of his, we find that in the midst of fleeing him, he said, my soul trusts in thee. There's protection in you until these calamities have passed. You see, the vision is not disrupted because we think it should have gone a certain way. The vision is distorted by our perspective unless we have our eyes fastened on God and God alone. You see? And David was a prime example of holding on to the fact that God was in charge in spite of what he's seen, in spite of what he was dealing with, in spite of what people would say, in spite of how people respond, in spite of the crowd, I will stand alone and declare God is still in charge and God is my strength. Period. I don't have to worry about what tomorrow holds. Because if tomorrow never comes, I know my last breath here is my first breath up there. Because the Word of God says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And so I know I spoke from the perspective of Moses. But the beauty of this story is that in spite of what Korah and the family did, God's mercy was shown. You follow the lineage of what happened with Korah and his lineage. And you're going to find out of that lineage
comes a familiar man by the name of, anybody knows? Samuel. Interesting. God's mercy. God's grace. And as well as you see in the scriptures, in the book of Psalms, the songs of Korah. God's mercy, God's grace was bestowed upon them. And God brought hope to their lineage. It's interesting. Just because they fell, God says, but there's still hope. There's still hope. I can still use your family. I can still use you. I can still. And those that committed themselves to God, the end result was that God used their generation, a member of their generation, to become a powerful man of God. That's on the flip side. It's a little extra. Just wanted to throw that in there. You know. And so, I want to leave with you a challenge. The vision is accomplished in God's timing and in God's faithfulness. With us working together in the area that He places you, will you be faithful? Will you be faithful? I had asked these questions earlier, and I want to leave them with you in a way of closing. What is my purpose for this season? And I wonder if Moses asked that many a times, because I know I would have. Lord, I'm dealing with them again. What is my purpose? Why am I here? What would you have me to do now? Don't take God out of the equation. Amen. It was supposed to be in a question, but I'm putting it in a statement. Don't take God out of the equation. Because God has ordained something for this season. Get into prayer and find out what it is. Sometimes what God has ordained comes into focus in the wilderness, comes into focus when we act on it. Give me 5 more minutes. We know the story of Peter. We know how when he was in the boat and Jesus said, come on, boy. Peter has asked, if it be you, or he has said, if it be you, call me. God called me out. Now Peter didn't say, where's my water wings? My little flotation device for my feet. I don't see a path in front of me. There isn't a rope to hold on to. No. Peter stepped out by faith. Is it possible? You know what the Word of God says. Is it possible that as we walk by faith, that God will open up the doors for you to see the next step? Is it possible that as we step out by faith, if we go in the wrong direction, because of our ignorance, that God will say, hold up. It is possible.
Because God, in His mercy, has a way of guiding us every step of the way. You know, David, King David, he had a vision. He was given a vision. You're going to be king. But God, I don't see it. That other king is chasing me. You're going to be king. I'll wait on you, Lord. I'll wait on you. But in the meanwhile, I'll make sure to spread the word. And in the end, God made him king. Is it possible your vision is what's going to propel this church forward? Is it possible? Are you with me? I'm looking for what is in store for 2021. I'm forgetting, like last week, forgetting the past, forgetting the hurts, the discouragement, and going forward. But my vision is not my own. It's God's vision.
Amen.
What is God's vision for this church? That's what you hold on to, not what you think is best. What is God's vision for this church? Is it to die? Or is it to rise up in the power of the Holy Ghost so that demons will run? Is it to rise up in the power of the Holy Ghost so that sickness will be healed? Is it to rise up in the power of the Holy Ghost so that we can see deliverance being wrought in the church today? Is it so that God's presence and God's power will be made known in the center of Mecca, Ohio? Because God is in charge and not man. Together, let us stand for the purpose that God has in store for us.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand this morning.
Chad. I don't know what you're dealing with this morning. Maybe you're the one that's been discouraged. I don't have to worry about the camera now. Maybe you're the one that's discouraged. Maybe you're the one that are dealing with things in life that just came at you. The Word of God says, when the enemy raises a standard against you, God is there. He is able to meet him head on and destroy everything that comes against you. I don't know what you're dealing with, but we as a body of believers can come together in agreement and pray for God's deliverance.
Amen.
That's what we're all about. Every one of us. Every one of us. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. When we come together in agreement, in unity, God.